This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
This is your tech news briefing for Monday, December 5th. I'm Zoe Thomas for the Wall Street Journal. China's internet firewall and strict censorship of content online have been hard to get around for years, but not impossible. Following nationwide protests against the country's strict COVID policies, though, Beijing is working to make it even harder. On today's show, our Asia Tech reporter Elisa Lin joins us to explain how Chinese regulators are stepping up pressure on tech companies and what it means for activists. That's after these headlines. FTX founder Sam Bankman-Fried told the Wall Street Journal he couldn't explain what happened to billions of dollars of customer funds that FTX sent to its sister trading firm, Alameda Research. Bankman-Fried said some FTX customers were instructed to fund their accounts on the crypto exchange by wiring money to Alameda-controlled bank accounts. Over time, FTX customers deposited more than $5 billion in those Alameda accounts. That money is now gone. His remarks suggest that those funds could have been recorded in two places, both as FTX customer funds and as part of Alameda's trading positions. That double counting would have created a huge hole in FTX's and Alameda's balance sheets with assets that weren't really there. Bankman-Fried denied that double counting affected FTX's financials, but said that Alameda's liabilities might not have been fully recorded. Bankman-Fried, who owns 90% of Alameda, distanced himself from the firm.
I was busy. FTX was a full-time job. I was more than a full-time job. And I didn't have enough brain cycles left to understand everything going on at Alameda if I wanted to. I also didn't want to because I was concerned about conflicts of interest. And I felt like it would be inappropriate for me to be looped into, certainly to details of what was going on there. It caused me to not dig in very much, to not try to engage very much on what Alameda was doing. And it was a huge oversight, obviously. But, the honest answer is, obviously I should have been.
Bankman-Fried stepped down from his role at FTX last month. The company has since filed for bankruptcy. The Department of Homeland Security is investigating hacking collective Lapsus. On Friday, the Cyber Safety Review Board said it will examine the group's recent high-profile hacks, though it didn't specify which. Lapsus has been behind recent attacks at Uber, Nvidia, Microsoft, Samsung, Okta, and more. Researchers have said Lapsus will sometimes extort victims, but seems motivated more by a desire for notoriety. The Hacking Collective is an amorphous team that hides behind anonymous online aliases. Law enforcement and researchers have said the group likely has members from Brazil and the UK, several of them teenagers. Some members have been arrested. Streaming and social media platforms are pushing back against a proposal in Canada that would force them to more prominently feature Canadian content and compensate news outlets. The parent companies of Google, Facebook, and TikTok are among those pushing back against the proposed legislation, which is being championed by Canada's Prime Minister. The new rules would require platforms to rework their existing algorithms, so Canadian-made content would be displayed ahead of foreign content. The proposed law would also force digital media companies to make annual payments for Canada's artistic community, totaling the equivalent of an estimated $1 billion Canadian dollars, or around $750 million in the U.S. Our Canada correspondent, Vipal Manga, broke down the arguments for and against the new rules.
Canada feels that it needs to do what it can to protect Canadian culture. There's a long tradition here of forcing television stations and radio to prioritize Canadian content, rules that they call CanCon, and they're trying to apply the same framework to the internet. The internet companies argue that that doesn't really work. The internet, by definition, is a global phenomenon, if you will, and trying to break it up geographically kind of breaks the basic foundational principle of this technology.
And the Amazon executive who oversaw the e-commerce giant's push into entertainment is leaving the company. Jeff Blackburn's departure will result in restructuring and leadership changes at Amazon's Global Media and Entertainment Division, according to a memo from CEO Andy Jassy. Blackburn had recently returned from an 18-month sabbatical. During that time, Amazon acquired movie and television studio MGM and landed the rights to the National Football League's Thursday Night Football franchise. In a memo to staff, he said he planned to spend the next year with his family. All right, coming up, China takes steps to fortify its internet firewall. What has that meant for protests there? We'll discuss after the break.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
The Chinese government has instructed tech companies to expand censorship of protests following widespread demonstrations that broke out at the end of last month against the country's strict zero COVID strategy. China already has strict internet censorship policies and allows police to use large amounts of data, like personal mobile phone data, to track people. And yet, across the country, people were able to do what other protest movements have done before them and use social media and messaging services to mobilize. So how is China responding, and what will it mean for the future of these demonstrations? With us to discuss that is WSJ Asia Tech reporter Lisa Lin. Hi, Lisa. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Zoe.
Lisa, there was this new guidance from China's internet watchdog to the country's domestic tech companies. Can you tell us what it was?
So towards the end of November, we saw protests break out across China. And immediately after that, early last week, we saw the Chinese Cyberspace Administration of China, which is essentially China's internet watchdog, gather its regulators together and tell them to crack down on a couple of things on the Chinese internet space. The first directive they had went to tech companies, social media companies in general, telling them to clear up the internet of any sort of video and content related to the protest. The second guidance, which is really interesting to me because censorship is really part and parcel of China now, the second guidance was asking internet companies, including e-commerce companies, cloud providers, and other online forums to crack down on the sales of the tools that would allow Chinese internet users to jump the Chinese internet firewall. So if you're a Chinese internet user, you're essentially blocked from external websites such as Google, Twitter, Facebook, and the major news websites such as the Wall Street Journal, Reuters, New York Times. So in China, your vision and your internet ecosystem is very much controlled by what the Chinese Communist Party wants you to see. So the way people in China would get over the great internet firewall would be to use what you would call a virtual private network. These are like cyber tunnels that allow you to access websites from an overseas IP. So it kind of disguises the location from where you're accessing these websites from and allows you to view and browse the websites.
So according to people familiar with the matter, Chinese regulators have asked companies to conduct new sweeps and remove postings for these VPNs, and they've also asked companies to prevent searches related to VPNs. But Lisa, if somebody already has a VPN, is there any way for the Chinese government to control how they use it?
Nope. If you already have a VPN, then, you know, you're kind of set to jump the firewall and see what's on the external web outside of China. China has tried to make life more difficult for the VPN operators to operate. And every time there is social unrest and social disturbance within China, they do try to do that. But generally, crackdown does mean that people who don't have that VPN now will find it very difficult to get that VPN.
Have we had any comment from the Chinese regulator or from any of the companies about this new guidance and how they're reacting to it?
No, we've sent a fax to the Chinese regulator, but in general, they rarely reply to our faxes. The companies have also not commented.
How are tech companies generally responding to these protests? What steps are they taking?
You know, when social disturbances in China happen, there are a couple of steps that the regulator and tech companies tend to take. And these are well established and followed for a long time. Generally, the regulator comes out and tells tech companies to just be more aware of what's happening out there and to tell them to increase their manpower and staffing to handle the amount of offensive content that's coming out on internet platforms. Tech companies typically do content filtering in two ways. The first way is to pass the content through a machine filter, so an algorithm that helps them to recognize the visual. For example, if you see masses of people near a bridge that was the site of the protest, algorithms can often filter this out. The other way they do it is through audio filtering. So if, you know, the sounds of a protest, for example, would allow that particular piece of content or that visual or video to be flagged out to human sensors who then subsequently take it down. So it's often a combination of machine and human censorship. That said, Chinese internet users are so used to this cat and mouse game that very often what you see when you cover censorship in China is that the visuals that are being passed around are flipped around. They're turned upside down, or you have red lines scribbled all over. So the algorithms themselves can't catch these visuals.
You know, we've seen social media play such an important role in protest movements around the globe, but, you know, given the censorship that you're describing, how important is social media for these demonstrations?
It is interesting that you bring this up because it was the Arab Spring and Twitter's role in the Arab Spring that actually led China to begin to ban these social media platforms to start with. And so China definitely realizes the huge role social media plays in engaging people, you know, getting a piece of news viral, and definitely over the years has been cracking down on them. I think what you saw this time was just the intensity of feelings that people had had towards a zero COVID policy coming through the fall, and it just needed one trigger point. And social media was actually initially the conduit to be translating the messages that allowed people to realize that, you know, there was something happening in Xinjiang and there was a protest happening there. And then they began to organize subsequent protests in colleges in Beijing or along a very popular street in Shanghai.
You know, internet censorship isn't the only technology China has to surveil its citizens. Has it stepped up the use of any other methods?
So what we definitely saw during the protests is the use of digital surveillance to pinpoint who was at a protest. Over that weekend when we saw the protests erupt, a ton of college students had attended these protests holding pieces of blank white paper as a symbol of protest as a symbol of just pushing back to the inability to express their own opinions. And after that happened, we spoke to a couple of participants who said that they were called up by police. And they believed that they were called up by police because police had been monitoring their cell phone signals just to figure out who was in that area. You definitely saw the use of the digital surveillance apparatus that China is so well known for kind of being used in this space.
All right, that's our Asia Tech reporter, Lisa Lin. Thanks so much for joining us, Lisa.
Thanks for having me, Zoe.
And that's it for today's tech news briefing. If you want more tech stories, check out our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.